Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and today on the show, we have Eric Jarbo. This is an interview I did with him on Sunday before the event the New Kentucky Project had in Louisville, which Jasmine and I both attended, and we both really liked. That's what we have on the show today for you guys, so I hope you enjoy it. Without any further ado, here's my interview. Okay, joining us today on the podcast, we have a special guest, Eric Jarbo. Mr. Jarbo is the executive director at the New Kentucky Project, which is an organization led by Matt Jones and former auditor Adam Edelin. The NKP has now been around for a year and is doing a tour of the state. So, Eric, thank you for joining us here at my Old Kentucky Podcast.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, I called him former auditor Adam Edelin, and I didn't give Matt Jones, like, a title, because I don't really know, like, radio personality and, you know.
Yeah, he does a little bit of everything. He's the founder and host of Kentucky Sports Radio and the creator of Hey Kentucky's TV show and airs in Lexington.
Right, yeah. I'm kind of glad Jasmine isn't here. Jasmine isn't here to do this because she would totally fangirl. She's a huge Matt Jones head, so you know that's
there's
good.
There's a lot of people that do that. That's usually the question I get. Oh, you're that guy that works for Matt Jones. I'm I do more than that, but yeah.
All right, well, we're here to talk a little bit about NKP and what it's doing across the state of Kentucky this week and this month, and you know, I guess for the foreseeable future. You've recently achieved the one-year mark, so how does the organization feel right now? Have you exceeded your expectations, and what lessons have you learned moving into year two?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's hard to believe that it's already been a year. It feels like, you know, the really long days, but really short weeks. The time just flies. So I think how we feel is we are ahead of where we thought we would be. We thought we would take, you know, the last half of 2016, the entirety of 2017, and be ready to roll in 2018. But, you know, we're far from a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And as Adam likes to say, we're a garage band with a hit. Is that we wanted to build the organization out first and then bring the movement in, but the opposite has happened.
Right.
That we've had just an overwhelming outpour of either support or donations or honestly just people looking for action. And we just didn't have the organizational capacity to be able to facilitate that. But in terms of internal metrics like memberships, email lists and just events that we've hosted, we're beyond where we thought we would be, but we're now in the position where we need to translate that into tangible action. So it's difficult to do when you have limited resources, and I'm the only full-time staff for a statewide organization. It's really difficult, but I would say overall we're ahead of where we thought we would be, and now we're just trying to play catch up.
Right. What do you credit the immediate growth and interest in your organization? Because I've seen several smaller organizations across Kentucky kind of crop up, but this is the one I think has the most people power behind it and the most kind of people that are willing to, you know, claim membership. And what do you credit that to?
Well, we did not create this movement. We're beneficiaries of the unfortunate circumstances that, you know, in our eyes at least, that happened in 2016 with the election. That I think there was a lot of people that maybe had not been as engaged, and then there's like, wait a minute, okay, yeah, now we need to get in the game. But it also, with Adam and Matt at the top of this organization, people are interested to see, you know, what's Matt Jones doing in politics? And is this now, what's Adam going to do? Because, you know, they're waiting to see what he was going to do after he was defeated in 15. And we've done a good job of building an executive committee that is diverse geographically and in terms of ideology as well.
Right.
I mean, they stretch from Louisville, Lexington, Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, Northern, South, just all over the place. And we've done our best to try to be active. So I think people are looking for what's next, what's going to be the new thing, what's going to be the organization's going to step up and kind of fly the banner. And we're doing our best to try to be that.
And you know, we're coming up, I guess you guys have just experienced your first year anniversary at the organization. So the election in 2016 kind of splits the difference almost, where you had about half of a year before the election and half of a year after. What impact, I mean, because, you know, in Kentucky, I guess we were coming out of the 2015 election, and in the words of Kara Stewart, who's another person who listens to this podcast and has been on before, she says Kentucky's from the future. Like, all the political stuff that happens in Kentucky happens a little bit ahead of the national environment recently. So, I mean, Kentucky had the experience of the 2015 election, which left a lot of people kind of downhearted that were, you know, Democrats or liberal or whatever. And then the 2016 election happened, which was, I guess, that on a much larger scale.
Yes.
So how would you say that the impact of the 2016 election worked for NKP, and what has it done for you guys?
Well, we we're in no position to do anything in 16. Mm-hmm. You know, we laid low because we would not make an impact one way or the other.
Right.
And we felt like we would just be another organization out there just kind of spinning their wheels, not be able to do anything. But the 2016 election, if you were alive in Kentucky in 2015, it should have been no surprise.
Right.
We saw the exact same thing play out here, that you saw, you know, a new wave of conservative ideology coming through, mm-hmm. and you saw, you know, quite frankly, a Democratic message that was no message. It
right.
was just trying to discredit the other person. And that played out, like you said, on a larger scale in 16. And I think people were just, we got to do something else. We mm-hmm. got to have something else. And we just so happened to be hosting our first annual ideas conference in February
mm-hmm.
when Adam and Matt came to me and said, hey, get this conference pulled together. They expected maybe 200 people.
Right.
And then we'd hit the 200 mark and they said, okay, can you get 300? And we hit 300 and we ended up with close to 700 people at this conference. And I like to call it a big group therapy session for progressives. It was just everybody come in, let's lick our wounds and just realize that, hey, we're not by ourselves
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, there is a future here that we can do better and we have to do better. So I credit the 2016 election in giving people the opportunity to say, okay, it's time to get to work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dresden and I were both at that conference. And,
I'm glad.
And,
yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. And one of the things that I walked away from that thinking about was just the incredible diversity. I mean, the people who came up, they were diverse racially, and there was the diversity on that level as well. But just the diversity of opinions and the diversity of political stances of the people that were up there. You had some
sure.
of the more conservative Democrats from out in the state who were up there. But then there were also some very, very far left people that were that hold office from Louisville and Lexington. I actually ran into, like, I think three people that were running for my Metro Council district there who were all there. Who represented very different ideologies. What do you credit the ability of all those types of people to come together under one umbrella? I mean, do you think that they all take ownership in that name, or they're using it to kind of, they know that you're an organization that has a lot of people, or what do you count that towards?
I think I count it towards is that we're open to anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to make an impact in your community, we don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent. If you're in it for the right reasons and you identify with the values that we outline as important to us, you're welcome. Your idea matters. You have value. And we understand, I think people understand that we are a platform for people to get their own ideas out.
Mm-hmm.
We identify certain values like, you know, people have a right to health care. You should be able, a good public education is your right as an American and a Kentuckian. And you should be able to live the American dream mm-hmm. in where you came up.
Right.
And outside of that, you know, we can disagree on what the policies that get us there.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we're working towards the same goal, people can work together.
Right.
And Matt says all the time that, and I agree with this, that 75% of Kentuckians agree on 75% of the stuff. It's
right.
just that people like to use the other 25% mm-hmm. to divide us out. And I think people really responded to that. One of the things that made me really happy is that in our first segment,
mm-hmm.
we had Representative Attica Scott,
mm-hmm.
Steve Gold, Commonwealth Attorney in Henderson, Celis Wilder, and Dan Mosley from Harlan. And the first thing that Representative Scott said is that she stood up and said Black Lives Matter and nobody batted an eye. They're just like, yeah, they do. And it was just a very welcome outpouring of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people really responded to that.
And one of the things I think is very interesting about your organization, especially from how a lot of these organizations are put together, is a lot of the times there's an organization that either has nobody in Louisville that is a part of it, or the entire organization is from Louisville.
Right.
This is one of the first organizations I've seen where there's elected representatives from Louisville, both in the state government and in local positions, that are given a platform to talk about issues that are important to Kentuckians as a whole. And I don't know, that's just something I've noticed that's been kind of interesting. How has this larger group shaped how you view, like, the urban-rural divide in Kentucky? Do you think that, I mean, and I know that's a big issue going forward.
It is. Well, I mean, personally, I've lived in Kentucky my entire life. I grew up in Frankfort, which I think it's got enough small town and mm-hmm. enough kind of big Kentucky town in it. It's halfway between Lexington and Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I mean, just to put it, you have Kentucky fans and Louisville fans there, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
So you have, it's a good mix, and I think it's a good microcosm of, you know, what a diverse Kentucky looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So I always kind of grew up with that anyway, but what's been really fascinating is I've been able to travel around the state, literally from Pikeville to Paducah, and listen to people, and they all kind of have the same concerns,
mm-hmm.
but they come about it in a different way, but they all have the same concerns. You know, we don't have the access to information that we need. AKA we need to get broadband in every house in Kentucky. We're worried about our health care. We're worried about, you know, just all sorts of different things like the opioid crisis that hits everybody. So you start to realize that there are just a collection of these issues that affect everybody, that they're not Democrat and Republican, that they're about everyday working class people. And I think that the urban, you know, I can't say this word to save my life, the urban rural divide. I think people are starting, if you just look at it and start listening to people and stop identifying about where I am and everything, that you realize that a lot of the problems that we have affect all of us.
That's absolutely right. I think that there's this idea that some issues that affect urban people don't affect rural people. But really, when it comes down to it, we're mostly just affected by most of the same forces that deal with all of us.
I agree.
And when you talk about Pikeville to Paducah, I always wonder what people in Fulton think. You know?
That's a really good point because
wait, what about us?
Well, and so that was really, really hard to do in the start, you know, because we started, you know, we were a 120 county organization. So anytime that I go around the state and travel, the furthest west I go is Paducah. And that's because you get there and it's like it's another 60 miles to Fulton. And of course, they think the same thing when they have to come to the middle of the state, right?
Yeah.
But finding a county coordinator there was tough, but we were able to do it. I'm sure they're just like, you know, all you have to do is just keep coming a little bit further. But by the time you get there, you know, Matt was in Somerset doing a radio show and we had an event in Pikeville that night. And
of course,
it's like a 6-hour drive. Yeah. And of course, he had to go out and deliver, and he did a good job. You know, it's just tough.
Yeah, my dad's family is from Ashland, and one of my uncles lives in Paducah, so he has to make that drive a couple times a year. It's brutal, man. That's a long way.
It is.
I remember when NKP first started, and there was a little bit of a kerfuffle about the fact that you guys decided to organize as a 501c4 nonprofit as opposed to a political action committee or like a 527 of some variety. And I've never really heard anybody really ask that question to any of you people directly, but could you talk a little bit about why the organization made the decision to use the 501c4 certification and why the organization isn't more political?
Okay. Well, that decision was made before I was hired. I was hired in April of last year, and I think this kind of started to form immediately after the 15 election, but I was in Iowa working the caucus at that point.
Okay.
So that decision was made before me, but the reason why we did it was twofold. Is one, that when people want to join and they want to donate or become dues-paying members, that they can remain anonymous. And if we see kind of the pettiness that comes from Frankfort and Washington, you've got a governor that wants to remove Jane Beshear from everything. It's just there will be retaliation coming from Frankfort if you're going to join a group that seems to oppose what's coming out of the governor's mansion. So we want to be able to be able to come in freely and not worry about any backlash that they have. And the other point is that we are not an overtly political group. We are issue oriented. We are people oriented. And the trade-off with being anonymous is that we can't electioneer. So we want to make sure that we are about ideas and we're about issues and not personalities. Because, you know, I can sit here and I can talk to a conservative until I'm blue in the face, and they probably will, no matter what I say, they'll never like Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or any of them. But if I talk about the ideas and the issues, eventually we can reach that. So if we come at trying to be a new face in the game and try to do things a new way, but we organize in the same old way, it kind of goes against what we're trying to stand for.
Is it fair to say that NKP is more about like changing the hearts and minds of people as opposed to like the way they vote?
We hope that the way they vote would be a secondary consequence of if we're getting people to talk about the issues that are important. And not to say that they're all not important, but to talk about the things that we think that people should be talking about, I think ultimately that people will rally around those ideas and they'll have different choices at the ballot box. But we have to say issue first.
And issues are really important. I think that that's worthwhile to talk about, especially since you identified pretty quickly, and I don't think it's anybody would oppose you there that one of the bigger problems in the Democratic Party is, especially in Kentucky, is their inability to run on issues.
And to be fair, Kentucky's a unique place to be a Democrat because it's hard to get a message that encompasses what a Democrat would be in each part of the state. Kentucky is six states wrapped into one, with Louisville being its own place. You know, so it's really hard to say I'm a Democrat on this platform in Louisville and then say I'm a Democrat on this platform in Harlan or Paducah or Covington or anything. It's tough to do. That's why people are in office, is to make those tough choices.
And that's absolutely true. And I also think it's true that people overlook the fact that Democrats across you know, at least the South, and really at this point in the Midwest, really kind of fell apart a long time ago. And Kentucky was one of the last places that held on to a chamber and had a lot of people that were elected under the Democratic ticket of on some variety. And so hanging on to that old identity of what it meant to be a Democrat, and, you know, even as far back as the 30s and 40s, is something that was effective in Kentucky up until, you know, last year. So
yeah, and you have to be able to evolve with the times. You know, we can't, whatever it meant to be a progressive 30 years ago can't be the same thing. You know, there will be core issues that obviously we align on, but if you can't evolve, then you get swept up. It's just like the market. You know, you get swept up in market forces. Right. It's no different.
The central identity of who you are may not change, but the way that that has to express itself based on the issues that affect people on a day-to-day basis has to evolve.
Sure.
I think that's what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so one of the things that whenever I mention New Kentucky Project to more like grizzled or hardened Kentucky operatives, one of the things that they have responded to me more than once by saying is like, oh, you mean Adam Edelin's gubernatorial campaign. And I think it's worth asking because both Mr. Edelin or Auditor Edelin and Matt Jones have expressed that they have political ambition, I think is fair to say. How does that impact the educational and organizational work you've mentioned so far? Do you get a lot of pushback about that?
We did it first. When we first formed and announced and we launched last August, one of the first things that I did, because I have relationships with those activists, you know, the grass tops type of people.
Sure.
I went around the state myself in 10 different cities, kind of like what we're doing now. And I did it myself and just took questions. And one of the things that we would get all the time, is this the Edelin for governor super PAC or Jones for whatever Matt wants to do PAC? And that's a valid criticism that there's no way we'll ever be able to escape it. But that's not what we are. We cannot electioneer. We cannot endorse, and we can't donate to campaigns or anything like that. This isn't just the Matt and Adam show. If you look at what we've done, if you think about Ideas Conference, how little of a presence the two of them had, it was about everybody else. It was about, let's talk about what's going on in the state from people from that area to talk about it. But, I mean, to be fair, they do have political ambition, but we are preaching the message that it's up to you. You get involved in your community, run for office, run for school board. And if we didn't have two people at the top that didn't represent that, I think that would be kind of disingenuous.
Kind of messed up to me in my mind that some people are very critical of people who have political ambition.
Sure.
I mean, we need people who are good leaders to run for office. And if we are like making that out to be a bad thing, then we won't get those people to run for office.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people look at Adam Edelin, especially as somebody who is a good person in Kentucky who did really good work as auditor. And we would like to see that person run for office
and
again.
That good work he did ultimately, I think, hurt him in 2015. It's hard to be a good auditor and go every time you come into a town that he's going to look at your books.
Yeah.
You know, that probably had some negative repercussions.
Sure. Yeah. And it's just tough. It's tough to be down ballot.
Yes.
In an election like that and come out a winner. We had Whitney Westerfield on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, he was, what, like 50-some votes away from...
Yeah, he was close.
Yeah.
He was close.
That was against a Bashir, so... All right, so tell me a little bit about what's next for NKP.
Sure.
You guys are doing a bunch of events across the state this week, and I guess you guys have been some places already in the past couple of weeks. What's your hope coming out of that, and what are your more long-term goals for the organization and the state?
Well, the statewide kind of summer barnstorming tour that we kept saying that we were going to find a name for and just never did. That's the kind of stuff that like you never think would be tough to do, but when you have a very small staff, it's tough to
Naming
do.
Naming things is impossible.
Naming things is hard.
My Old Kentucky Podcast.
Which is a great name. And we would call it My Old Kentucky Tour, but there's probably some kind of infringement there. But, you know, we've had it in the works forever. And when we said we're going to have an ideas conference, which, again, we're going to do every year, we told people come to us and listen to us, and we promised that we would go to them. And we're holding up our end of the deal. We're going to, and again, literally from Pikeville to Paducah. We were just in Paducah last week.
Pikeville to Fulton.
Yeah, Pikeville to Fulton.
It doesn't roll off the tongue in the same way.
So we've been Northern Kentucky, Moorhead, Somerset, Pikeville, Paducah. We're going to Owensboro. We'll be in Louisville this coming week on the 22nd, so please come. And then Owensboro will finish up in Lexington with and Congressman Tim Ryan will be our guest there.
Oh, cool.
The last one in Lexington is this edition of what we're calling the Tomorrow Talks. Like our first one was with Drew Curtis. We talked about how technology is going to play a role in politics and just our everyday society moving forward. So we're taking our message on the road, but it's not just us sitting and talking at people. Matt and Adam will give their spiel, and they'll talk for about 5-10 minutes apiece, and then the rest of the time, and this has lasted anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, is we take questions from people with no prior preparation or anything like that. It's just with people show up, we want to hear what's important. Mm-hmm. And overwhelmingly, we've heard the same thing. We've talked about, you know, we're upset about right to work. Mm-hmm. We're upset about our healthcare is getting ready to go away and we don't have access to information. So the other part of this traveling is to let people know that our blog site is going to be coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That should be released here within the next couple of weeks or up to a month or two. It will function as the, for lack of better explanation, for the Kentucky sports radio of politics. the best example we have is kind of like the Huffington Post.
Okay.
If you take 5 minutes, and I don't suggest this unless you really want to, take 5 minutes and watch Fox News. They've got on the screen, they've got the talking points right there.
Sure.
Next, you're not listening to Hannity. You're watching the talking points streamed across. And that allows them to have ammunition when you go to the kitchen counter debate.
Right.
When you're talking with your friends and your coworkers. So we want to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
We want to highlight the stories and the news that we think people should hear. Mm-hmm. That you shouldn't just hear about all this terrible stuff that's happening in the world. That you should hear about, oh, hey, there's this person in X county that's doing this really good thing. And that idea can be transposed to your community. And we want to use that as kind of an entry-level activism for other people too. Because some people want to be involved, but maybe they're not good with a clipboard or they're not good on the phone, but they're a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
So here, come up and tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we were in Moorhead, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name, but she stood up and like was telling a story about how she was an activist in the 60s. Who was fighting for civil rights, who was protesting the war in Vietnam, who was doing the stuff that we all kind of romanticize.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, I can't believe I'm still having to do this. So after, I went up to her and said, I want your story. I want, that story needs to be told. So we will provide the platform to be able to do that.
Cool.
So we're selling that. People are really responding to it. And honestly, there's been a lot of people there and these different places that are saying, I want to run for school board. I want to run for city council.
Cool.
I want to do stuff like that. And we're like, okay, come have a meeting. We'll show you how to do it.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome. Recruitment's super important, and there's not enough people across the state that are doing it. So, yeah, if people are interested in a New Kentucky Project and want to get more involved, how can they do that?
Well, email me, and I'm getting ready to give my email address to everybody, but it's Eric, E-R-I-K, at newkentuckyproject.com, and it's all spelled out. You can go to our website and sign up for a mailing list, donate if you can, and I would highly suggest do because we need it.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be revamping our website because it needs work. But just, again, it's one of those things that we need more staff to do. But we're revamping our website, which will have all of our event calendars out. It will have a way to sign up to be a volunteer, to write for the blog, to do stuff like that. If you see stuff on Facebook, Twitter that we're sharing that you like, share it to your friends, share it to your coworkers, just spread the word, because the best way things can spread is by people that people know and trust.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Mr. Jarbo, Eric Jarbo, thank you so much for coming on to my old Kentucky podcast and talking to us this week.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. That was my interview with Eric Jarbo, the executive director of the New Kentucky Project. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys want to get in touch with us, you can do so at @myoldkypod on Twitter. You can follow us at My Old Kentucky Podcast on Facebook, and you can listen to our podcast anywhere you can subscribe to those. Okay, guys, hope to see you guys next week. Kentucky home.